Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I sit down with a couple of UK pastors, Graham Nichols and Mark Ventham. I hope you had a great half term and didn't miss us too much. Only 1 week away, but so much has happened. Circumstances can change almost overnight at the moment, it seems. So today we will be talking about the presidential election, the second national lockdown, and in the main bit, Mark has three principles to help us get through the next month, making sure that we're caring for those who are especially isolated and lonely at the moment. So enjoy the podcast and I'll catch you on the other side.
I'm Mark Ventham.
And my name is Graham Nichols.
And I'm Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. Welcome back. It's been, we've had a week off. I haven't spoken to you two for a while. How have you been? Did you have a nice week off? Were you actually on holiday or just taking a little break from Ordinary? What were you doing?
I myself was a week off. Went away, went to Cornwall. There was lots of wind, lots of waves, lots of rain, fair amount of sun as well. So it was a fun time. But came back to rather disappointing news about the new lockdown. So I feel a bit deflated by that, I suppose I'd say.
Mm-hmm. We'll definitely get into that.
Yeah.
There's no way we can avoid it really on this week's podcast. Mark, did you have a week off or have you just been...
Pretty much had off on Tuesday. We headed down to Bournemouth and had a great time. Just walking and chilling. Yeah. And not doing a lot. So yeah,
it's good, actually, then, that you both, I guess, managed to get away just before this month kicks off, I suppose, which is a blessing.
Yeah, yeah, it was. So, good.
Sunday roundup show. Did the sermon pass real slow? Did you plant some seed to grow? It's roundup time. What do you know?
Okay, so this Sunday, we were back in Job in the morning, which was, I suppose, we're coming towards the end and God is now responding to Job, particularly this week, talking about creation and questioning Job. Thoughts from that, either of you, Graham, particularly?
Yeah, I think it was great after all that time to kind of hear from God and start to unwrap that. And I guess I was most impressed impressed in the sense of it kind of pressed in on me how God talks about creation, but not just to talk about creation, to talk about himself and his sovereignty over creation. And it's God who controls everything, good and evil. So I suppose when I've read that text in the past, it's been more me thinking, oh, God knows about creation, or isn't creation wonderful? Whereas actually reading it sort of more in detail and thinking about preaching it, it made me think more about what God's saying about God rather than what God's saying about creation. So that helped me certainly, I think, in preparing.
It was helpful. It was certainly helpful in terms of just thinking about those big pictures and the ways in which it wasn't just the animals, but helping us to feel it as well. And just that sense of, our smallness in comparison to God, but also that sense of, we are creatures and he is the one who is in control. So it's really helpful.
But it was really fun, wasn't it? The ostrich particularly just entertained me. The idea of this slightly curious, slightly comic creature that can yet run very fast, because God just embeds into creation all sorts of curious creatures.
Yeah, yeah, and what also was brought up in our small group as well was the slight humour in God's tone towards Job at times, like the sort of sarcasm that you sense in the text, which is. You don't see a lot, I suppose, in the Bible. Maybe we do. I just miss it, but it definitely was striking.
Yeah, like in Psalm 2, it says, the nations are all rising up, and God laughs at them. And you kind of think it's that idea, but yeah, you're right. We don't think about it very often. That
God just see more of it this Sunday.
Yeah,
his irony. You must
be super old, Job, because you must know everything. Because surely you were there, you know.
Yeah.
So it's great language. Actually, in the evening, Nick did a fantastic kind of run through some texts in Proverbs to do with married couples, and it was mostly applying words that weren't specially about married couples, but really applying them well into marriages. So. If you didn't listen to that one sort of live or just after, it's worth kind of going back and finding it. It's all on the website.
Time for news now. Give us your views. News.
Well, it's difficult to pick something to talk about from the news in some ways because there seems to be an awful lot going on. We've got obviously the elections in the US are happening. For us, it's Wednesday. It's about 1:43 in the afternoon, and I can tell you that right now Joe Biden is ahead ever so slightly. We have the impending lockdown, which is in, you know, I don't know, 10 and a little bit hours time. It starts again for us here in the UK. We've also had that big news story about the sort of terror threat level going up to severe in the last 24 hours or so. So much going on, but I suppose majority of the time now we'll spend just considering the lockdown because it's the most immediate and most sort of pressing and impactful on our lives. I guess for you guys as church leaders, you've been dealing a lot with local MPs and I suppose thinking about the implications and I don't know, yeah, just dealing with this situation. What are your thoughts on this new month of lockdown that's being imposed?
Yeah, I think the parallels, interestingly, with the Donald Trump situation is that they're both kind of political situations in which you can get too invested, and to some degree the lockdown is one where we can get too invested and sort of overlap our own sort of political, scientific, tactical opinions with the actual sort of spiritual arguments and actually being contented with sort of God's sovereignty. But yeah, particularly to do with the lockdown, even with kind of that humility of saying we might be wrong, a number of church leaders are protesting to say we think particularly closing churches during these 4 weeks is unreasonable. It's unreasonable because of the threat to public health is not so clearly demonstrated as last time. And it's unreasonable because churches have worked so hard to make themselves sterile places, you know, to the point of making it really difficult for us sometimes because we're so sterile, but we've made it that. So it seems unfair. And so a lot of church leaders have protested in various ways, written to MPs, written to Boris Johnson. There's a legal challenge that's coming from at least one group, but maybe two or three. How far we push that, I guess, is a judgment call about whether we think this is sort of fundamental theologically or whether we just think it's a point, but in the end, we'll sort of bow out gracefully. And that's a hard one to...
I think it's because I think we do think theologically it's really important that we meet and gather. You know, Hebrews 10 is really clear on that. Don't gather, you know, don't give up on meeting together. So I think theologically we think meeting together physically is theologically important, right? And right. I think where what the other theological issue that you're kind of wrestling with as church leaders is yes, we can see it's essential. And yes, we think it is. But do you give up your rights at this point? So kind of a more 1 Peter argument. You give up your rights to meeting because you can do it digitally. So you're not meeting. It's not as good, but you're not meeting. So you're upholding one. But do you give up your rights to physically gather in order to kind of submit? Obviously, we have to. But in terms of if we were allowed to, in terms of kind of just modelling to society around, actually, no, we're with you in this, we're going to give up our rights because we, you know. So I think they're the two the points, and the argument then goes backwards and forwards, because someone would go, well, actually, if you meet, you're kind of saying, well, it's really important, and you're kind of giving a gospel witness that way. But you can see the argument another way, that if you don't meet, you know, but the other way, sorry, is non-believers look at you and go, why are you meeting? It's unfair. This is not right. You know, and it causes and it harms the gospel. Yeah. So you therefore think, okay, for the sake of the gospel and for unity, we'll give up our right in order to kind of promote harmony, promote love towards our neighbours who are unable to do what they want to do. in terms of, you know, sport or whatever else it might be. So I think they're the kind of the theological principles you're kind of wrestling with, and how do you best honor, glorify God in the midst of that? And what is this a wisdom issue? Is there a kind of a right or a wrong in that? Because fundamentally, you know, we are still gathering. You know, it's not as good, but, and I think that they're the issues that as church leaders we're wrestling with right now. So even if they said we could meet, would we meet if everyone else wasn't doing, you know?
I think even in the process of writing to MPs and stuff, it's just quite good to voice as the church, to have a voice.
Absolutely.
And to say not just we're standing up for our rights, but all the letters that I've been involved in have also said stuff about we think the gospel's important, we think hope's important, we think the gathering of God's people is important, we think churches are good for everybody. So we're not sort of some little club asking for our rights. We think the whole world needs to know what the church, you know, the gathered church has. And that, so I think if nothing else, it's just an opportunity to get a bit of profile for the church and a voice that's saying a bit more. I guess the interesting question for Mark, for anybody, would be just suppose in God's amazing providence, say there was an amendment this afternoon and places of worship were allowed to open. Would we open this coming Sunday? Mm-hmm. I think I would, and we would, mm-hmm. because we have in the past when it was permitted. But that would be an interesting question. So without any legal process or anything else, but if there was just a sort of change of heart in the government this afternoon, on that front. But that would be a thing to discuss.
Yes. Yeah. And just as a side note, I assume that is extremely unlikely. I mean, how often do this sort of the pressure that we are able to put on via letters and lobbying with groups and bodies, how often does that result in anything? Because I know that for myself, I've been involved in signing different things and, you know, just because it's the only thing I can really do. But in a way, you feel sort of powerless that's not going to do anything. Is it the sort of the same in this scenario? Are you writing these letters in a sense so that you're heard, but not expecting that they'll do anything? Or is there some
expectation? Well, it might line up for something more. I think in terms of the sort of political solution, I don't think it will change.
Yeah.
So I don't think political minds will change, because I think it's coming from the centre of government. It's not just sort of on the periphery of some sort of, you know, small department that's made a decision that could easily be overturned. So yeah. I think it's coming from the heart to say we want something that applies right across the country of England, at least. And applies to all sort of gatherings.
Yeah.
So I think that's like unlikely to change. What might change is the legal situation, because churches are in a slightly different constitutional position than grassroots sports or other gatherings, you know, or theatres or something. So they have a slightly different status historically, you know, because people used to think the church was important. So because of that, there might be a legal process that just forces the government's hand and they just have to allow churches to open, or at least give them permission to open.
Right.
Okay. So I think that's probably the only thing that will succeed. I don't think political pressure will succeed. I think it rarely does, because there's normally a political sort of decision that's made. And particularly when you've got a government with a majority, you know, they even stood firm on school meals recently with, you know, Marcus Rashford and lots of celebrities kind of pushing. So I don't think they're going to listen to us.
And we've got to realise that actually we're such a very small minority now, you know, that more people are going to be campaigning about, you know, keeping the pubs open than they are about the churches. So,
right.
You know, there is a recognition. So I think the route is legal, but I think it is important in terms of voice into culture as well. But also you're not just looking at the next 4 weeks. I think that's the thing to say is partly as well, there's a kind of a longer view. You know, what happens if this goes on longer? What happens if this is the pattern of open close? Where do churches sit in that? You know, say, okay, you know, we can deal with it for the next 4 weeks, but if they were to say for the next 8 weeks or the next, you know, 12 weeks, where do you go after that?
Yeah.
And, you know, particularly with Christmas coming up, you know, a massive, you know, celebration for us as believers and Christians. And what we do in that, how we celebrate that.
How do you, Josh, feel about lockdown from Mark 2?
Oh, what a can of worms that is.
Yeah,
I don't know. I do know. I feel very frustrated by it. I am in the camp that sort of thinks that this is not particular. I buy into the arguments for not locking down. There are, I think there are some good arguments around the sort of, yeah, the moral side of overwhelming the NHS and have doctors potentially having to choose who to treat. That's obviously a strong argument and a situation we want to avoid, but I'm not convinced that shutting down the country, you know, nationally is a good, wise decision. I'm not convinced by the data. Even the data that was used in the address on whenever it was, Sunday night.
Saturday night.
There was BBC are now reporting that those graphs that were shown were figures that were based from at the start of October that stated there should be 1,000 deaths a day at this point. And actually there's a quarter of that. And actually Sir Patrick Vallance has openly apologised for that already. So I just think the data's all over the place. We don't really know. And locking down like this seems like a political decision rather than anything else. And I just think it's dangerous and harmful. But I don't know.
I'm with you on that generally. But I do think the hospitals is a stronger argument. I think all the projected deaths, projected cases is all over the place. You've got lots of false positives and lots of things happening just because universities restarted. But I think hospitals is a bit more tangible. And I have relatives in the health sector who kind of can see the sort of storm clouds coming a little bit with hospital beds. And so I can have some sympathy for that. I still think there are probably other ways of trying to moderate that before you go for the big, you know, nuclear option, which we've gone back to again, another nuclear explosion. Mm-hmm. So I think there are probably other local options that should have been pursued longer.
Yeah.
But you know, in the end, that's a political choice. It's not a theological one. Yeah. It's, you know, it's saying, well, I'm looking at the data and coming to a different conclusion than my government is. But in the end, God's ordained my government to be in charge. So I have much more sympathy on the sort of on the church rebelling front. I don't think we should rebel, actually. But, you know, I've got more sympathy with that one than the individual rebelling front.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is right unless we think, you know, God is calling us to you know, break out and go and see someone against the law or something. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he is.
I bet that you thought it was nearly over, but we haven't started yet. It's just like on Sunday you thought we were done, but you still had communion.
Well, in the light of all of that, which we've spoken about, spent a little longer in the news section, but there's so much to talk about. In the light of the lockdown, we thought it would be useful to talk about how Christians in this next month particularly can still be active in supporting one another, caring for brothers and sisters. And so I guess we'll talk a little bit practically about what's allowed and what you can get away with and what you can do, you know, within the law. And then some things that I guess, Graham and Mark, you're going to recommend or say, you know, encourage people to do during this period. So, Mark, do you want to kick us off with thoughts on that?
Well, I think, in terms of things we can do, I think legally we're allowed to exercise. We're allowed to meet up with one other person outside, not in our gardens, not in our homes. And so I think, and obviously schools are back and all of those kind of things, but so I think
just to say, by the way, when you're on the one-on-one, you are allowed to meet up with one other person and with any children under 5, not counted.
Okay. Under school age. Yes.
Yes. Under 5. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's important because I think sometimes, you know, we think that we can do nothing. And I think there are clear guidelines and we should therefore do what we can within those guidelines. And I think one of the things that we have to be careful of, particularly, is if we are in a family setup or we're married or whatever, that actually lockdown can actually maybe not change much of our lives, if the truth be known. You know, we can still be doing our work, we've been working at home for a while, or we still have to go to work, we come home, particularly this time with the kids going to school. So some of the other stuff has stopped. But then in the evenings, maybe things are a bit slower, but actually we still got people around us, we've still got our families, we can still do stuff. So it kind of feels, you know, and actually that's the danger, is that we can kind of, it can for many actually be a nice time. Many reported in the lockdown last time, actually they quite enjoyed it. You know, they quite enjoyed the slower pace, they quite enjoyed hanging out with their families. But the problem is that we miss the ones who are actually vulnerable, the ones who are on their own, the ones who are struggling, the ones who don't have other people at home, the ones who are in difficult marriages or difficult family situations. And I think that's where we as believers particularly have a duty of care and love for others, and not just to look inward or think, actually, we're okay, but how do I care for others who may be struggling? And it may just be actually, the mum, for example, with young children at home who's finding it hard. How do I encourage, you know, if I'm another lady, how do I encourage them in the midst of lockdown? Because actually it's just harder for lots of reasons. So I think it's just thinking outward. And I think that's what we're trying to encourage. How do we love others? We've got a duty of care for our immediate family, then our church family, but also our communities and those around us who are going to be vulnerable much more so maybe this time than last time. So, you know, I know of folks in our own church who are kind of fearing this much more this time than they were last time, for example.
Sure. So I guess a big part of this is going to be the one-to-one thing. And I suppose one of the things you wanted to talk about today was how to do a one-to-one, how to get alongside someone in that way.
Well, we were going to talk a lot more about the kind of proper doing one-to-ones, but we kind of thought there's three things that we thought actually really key for people to be thinking about during this time. I'm putting my three fingers up thinking everyone can see me, but it's only you guys who can.
I know, but it's a great thing to see. We were talking about this before the podcast started. Mark is in a beautiful grey tone armchair. He's got a lamp behind him. It looks like a good BBC Zoom interview, you know, a good one. You don't see that many good ones, but you are framed beautifully right there. I wish
thank
people could see
much.
It.
Thank you very much. We're trying to work on that.
It's quite relaxed. I don't know.
Very relaxed.
This is one of my favourite chairs. It's just my kind of reading chair.
It looks like you should have a pipe.
Yeah.
I'd love a pipe.
And be telling a joke or a story.
Yeah, a little story. Well, we're talking, you know, story time on podcasts. What we can do during lockdown to help others. And I've blatantly stolen this from a good friend of mine, Martin. So if you're listening, thanks, mate. It's his church. The first one is that we can be prayerful during this time and praying for others and praying about the situation and praying in those kind of things. And we've got some ideas for that Graham may want to chip in on that idea.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say all three. That's why I was hesitating.
Oh, no, I thought we'd do it one at a time.
I think prayer is a jolly good idea. I think one of the things when I was, tramping around on beaches in Cornwall, getting cold and wet, but enjoying it last week, was I really felt strongly that with all my frustrations included, and we haven't even had the actual lockdown then, but with where I could see it all going, that I needed to pray more, and that we needed to get together as church to pray more, and that in particular, I did something to do with Affinity, where we all got together as a group of people a couple of days ago. But I think that same thing applies to sort of individuals meeting up with other individuals, just thinking whether you can pray for and with some particular people, whether you can go out for a walk and pray while you're walking, or stop walking for a moment and pray. And then as a church, thinking, we're thinking probably we're going to start on Mondays, a lunchtime prayer meeting on Mondays, particularly focused on the lockdown situation, both for our nation, for our leaders, for ourselves, as we kind of work through that. And probably we prayed a lot through lockdown, but maybe this is the time to just redouble that and to kind of intensify that. So that's the kind of big picture. Maybe, Mark, were you going to say anything more about the kind of individual praying with other people and stuff?
Well, I think it moves on to the next area, which is caring for folks. So in this time, it's kind of looking out for folks. But I think one of the ways we can care is meeting up with folks individually, one-to-one. And so we can do that both informally and formally. So there's lots of ways that we can care for those within the life of the church. I think we should all have radars open for those who are vulnerable, those who are elderly, those who are on their own. And actually, some of these are more than happy to go out for a walk. Even if they can't use Zoom technology, they're happy to go for a walk. And actually, why not phone up someone who is older in the congregation and say, hey, we'd like to go for a walk. Let's just, you know, go for a walk around the park, go for a walk around town, whatever it is. And they'll certainly appreciate that. So there's the kind of informal side, or those who are single at home on their own, just informally being intentional about kind of maybe just meeting up with someone to go for a walk. You can still grab a coffee from any good coffee outlet in town, do a takeaway, and go and walk, sit in a park, do all of those kind of things we are allowed to do at this time. So make the most of it. I think on the other end, we can do much more the formal stuff. But there's also, in terms of informal, sorry, you can be phoning people, chatting with them. Zoom has been a great tool in those sense. Talking with people, video is a far better way than often just even talking on the telephone. But I think it's just being those conscious of being outward of our own bubbles and thinking about other people and who we can care for in this time. And find out those who might just need help. Do they need help with shopping? Do they need help with doing stuff? Do they need help with any other particular things in the life of the church? Alongside that, how can I pray for you? Yeah. What are the things that I can pray for you? What are you wrestling with right now? What are the struggles? What are you finding hard? How can I pray specifically? And not just kind of getting people to pray about circumstances, but getting people to pray about what they're wrestling with their heart. You know, so you know, we don't want to just, you know, pray for me in the kind of loneliness. Yeah, but let's talk a bit more. You know, why is that? You know, what's going on in there? Let's talk about the heart issues and pray for those in particular. And then I think we can care for people formally in terms of pastoral work, reading the Bible with people. You can do that again as you go out walking, or through Zoom, through those kind of means as well. Reading the Bible, praying with people, really just being outward in those caring for others.
Yeah.
Maybe some of my suggestions.
Yeah. I think upgrading it from just the sort of basic, making sure the I don't know, half a dozen people in our church, for example, get their groceries. That's a sort of minimum level stuff. And that is pretty well cared for. I don't think there's anyone in our church or in the sort of wider network who's being neglected in terms of shopping. But I think it's looking, and maybe we should have done more of that earlier on, but just keeping looking at more the social needs that people have and the spiritual needs that people have and trying to, in some way, help those. Obviously, we can't change it. We can't make it all right. And we can't, we can't give people the amount of social contact they were having before, but we can give them some. And I think, you know, people have learned through this, which I think is a spiritual lesson that the whole population has learned in a way, which is the importance of social and family, because we're made in God's image as social creatures. So I think people have found it harder than they thought. I can't remember who it was, but someone I was talking to recently who said they didn't realise until lockdown that they were a social person. They kind of thought they were quite happy with their own company until lockdown happened. And then they realised that they actually did quite like seeing other people, and they were finding it really hard being on their own, which I think it addresses a need, but it also kind of makes us think about what it is to be human. Mm. But yeah, caring in a fuller sense. And I think to do with Bible studies and stuff, we always kind of think it's got to be one thing or the other. It's either got to be full on, you know, let's find a book of the Bible and a book to study the book with and let's go through 10 questions, or it's got to be nothing. And I think we want a whole spectrum of discussions and just encourage people to be able to talk about, you know, politics and baseball and I was just trying to think of something
baseball.
That wasn't football. I was trying to think of something that wasn't football, not being predictable.
One of the most minor sports in this country that you
I know. It's I was trying hard, but it obviously backfired.
That's really caring for someone, isn't it? It's really caring.
There are a few minorities who are
into niche thing.
I know some people in our church who are into baseball, ice hockey, a little bit into basketball, which is a slightly more important, rugby, football, and
ballet.
There are people that... Pardon?
Ballet.
Yeah. There are people into ballet and opera and classical music and crochet and knitting and crafts and all sorts of stuff. But there's you want a better range talking about those, talking about God, as though you haven't kind of shifted gears completely, or you've just, you know, you're in one car and then you transfer to another car before you can talk about, you know, the spiritual stuff. You want to be relaxed, moving between the topics.
Yes.
So we're going to be praying for people, caring for people, and caring means not just physical but spiritual and concern for their well-being. And the last thing is sharing. Can we share the gospel with people? Christmas is coming, but I think lockdown has given us loads of opportunities last time to talk with people and neighbours outside of that. And this kind of just is raising questions for people. And I think therefore it's an opportunity for us to be bold and courageous and share the gospel. And particularly with Christmas coming up, because there's another connection there. And we've got a number of things coming up that will enable people to access. So we're planning for the women are planning a kind of Christmas pudding night coming up in early December. We're planning a kind of a church-wide quiz, evangelistic quiz over Zoom during lockdown, opportunity for folks to kind of really be part of. And then there's the Christmas. And what we're planning for the Christmas is a big drive-in carols kind of event, if we can make it happen and we're allowed to do so, that will allow us to sing in our cars, interactive, involve kids. But they're the kind of things we're heading for.
Sing in our cars, did you say?
That's what I'm hoping. Okay. Drive-in carols. Carols okay. in a drive-in. That's what we're hoping. That's what we're planning. Okay. So a kind of drive-in carol service. Sit in your car, big stage, da-da-da-da-da. So right. we're kind of working those details at the moment, see if we can make it happen.
Okay.
And involving cool. local communities and stuff. But they're all opportunities to share the gospel. At the end of the day, people need to hear about Jesus. And particularly when we're feeling the pressure and we're seeing the mess of our world, what greater opportunity to give them than the hope and the peace that the Lord Jesus alone can bring. So pray, care, share.
I thought it was prayer, care, share, because that was had more of a resonance.
It rhymes. Prayer,
they
care,
rhymed
share.
A little bit
there
better.
We go.
Prayer, care, share.
Prayer, care, share, people.
Not even a but. And I think, as well as all the corporate stuff we're doing, which people could obviously plug into, and then other people who listen from other churches might have some ideas as well, what they're doing in their own churches. Mm-hmm. It's the individual, which is obviously always the challenge with our friends or our family. The way we're coping with lockdown, the way we're dealing with our emotions of frustration with perhaps what's happening to us, but trusting God's sovereignty with individual inconvenience and heartache compared with trying to be sacrificial for other people, how we're coping and working through that and maybe expressing our frustration, but also expressing our faith in God is quite a powerful witness. So obviously there's the obvious things you could talk about to do with encouraging people to think, you know, what are you learning through lockdown? You know, people who are not Christians, that is, you know, how do you feel about lockdown? So there's all those conversations that might lead on to thoughts about death, or about, you know, what it is to be human, or about whether we can control the world. There's lots of interesting stuff for that. But there's also just the slightly more subtle but longer term, which is how do we behave as Christians through this, and how do we share the gospel by the way that we're coping, and by the way that we're being open about how we feel, but also open about how we're dealing with how we feel, which I think is a powerful witness as well.
Thanks for joining us for another episode. Email in your thoughts or questions to ordinary@cchh.org.uk and come back next week for another brand new episode of Ordinary.